Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Living Well with Janet, where we explore what it means to live well. I'm your host, Janet, a yogi, meditator, plant-forward eater, and all-around wellness enthusiast. I'm also a second-generation Asian American woman, an experimenter, and a deep thinker. Join me in my conversations and contemplations on the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, social, and environmental aspects of living well. Today's episode is going to be about brain health. I have invited Alexis Fernandez, who is the host of Do You Fucking Mind, a podcast that uses brain health and neuroscience as a jumping board to teach listeners how to improve their self-perception and view of the world through physical and mental alignment. On her show, she shares practical advice backed by science so listeners can learn to give less of a fuck about feelings of inadequacy by prioritizing healthy habits. She believes that when you work on your relationship with yourself, it is easier to work on your other relationships, your drive and ambition, your purpose and career. Do You Fucking Mind is neuroscience, psychology, and tough love in one podcast, which I personally love. Thank you so much, Alexis, for being here today on my show, Living Well with Janet. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. That intro was awesome. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah. I mean, your background is awesome. Your background jumped out to me because I think it's so fascinating that you started in fitness and then you went into neuroscience.
Yeah.
And you started in fitness as a Pilates instructor and personal trainer. And then you went back to university and you got your master's of science in neuroscience. Can you tell us, like, how did that happen? And yeah, what that journey was like?
Well, the journey actually started with me originally after high school wanting to be an actor. I was hell-bent on being a performer. Yeah. But at the same time, if anyone who's listening has ever done acting or is currently doing it, you're kind of often waiting around for something to happen. And I really enjoyed studying. So I thought, I'll just go to uni in the meantime. And that's when I did my undergraduate degree. And that's where I first discovered my passion for the brain. Mm. So I was doing my undergrad. I started psychology as an elective. Through psychology, I discovered my love for specifically more neuroscience. So I switched my major to cognitive neuroscience. Mm. Once I graduated from that 4-year course, there wasn't really much. I still had my heart set on acting. While I was at uni, I also became a personal trainer and a Pilates instructor. So I kind of, even though I loved studying it, I looked at it as maybe I'll use it in my future, maybe not. So there was a 6-year gap from my undergrad to my master's where I was trying to make it in acting, doing really well in the fitness industry, loving it. Then I gave up acting and really honed in on fitness. And I was absolutely loving it. But every single year, I would look at the courses that all the universities had to offer. It's like I could never get this idea of my love for the brain out of my mind. I also went through some major breakups and I noticed how much my mood, my overall happiness could be impacted from external things around me. And I was always a very happy, not really an anxious person. And I was just dealt all these emotional blows. And I thought, this is just outrageous. Like there's got to be, you know, more of a, like a handbook to help me get over this thing. It's crazy. Everyone goes through a heartbreak. Why can't I work it out?
Yeah.
So this kind of journey through my 20s kind of eventually pointed me back to just committing and applying for my master's. And I had a bit of an imposter syndrome, thought, oh, just apply. And if you don't get in, at least you'll figure out what you need to get in. I applied and I got in. So I was like, oh, shit. So I just started it and it was incredible. Couldn't recommend it higher. If someone's even thinking about it, just do it. It was so great. It was hard work, but what you're learning is so fascinating that it was worth every single day being there. And that is what then was the catalyst for me to start the podcast, because I thought, I need to share this with everyone. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that journey. That is so cool. We have another main show, Asian Boss Girl, and on there we talk with a lot of different individuals who've gone through different career paths. I myself have transitioned a lot, so I love that you shared kind of what started your passion and how one thing led to another. And it is really fascinating that where you've ended up, it's like uses all three of the things that you loved or that you were like studying and trained for. So I love that as a messaging for anyone listening out there.
Yeah. Exactly. It's never a waste. So if you're doing something right now and you think, a lot of people think, oh, it's that sunk cost fallacy that I think I might as well just stay here. You don't have to. You can still use those skills in this, but apply it to something that seems totally different. It will always be useful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also want to say, I love that you shared it was a breakup or a couple of breakups maybe that pushed you towards really exploring the world of psychology. And then it drove you towards neuroscience. That is so fascinating to me. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, for sure. So I had this one massive breakup. I was around 26. Mm. I'm 34 now. So I was 26 and it really shook me. And I remember before I had experienced that breakup, I had had smaller breakups prior to that. And I thought I understood heartbreak. And when people would talk about heartbreak and how they couldn't get over it, I used to be like, in my head, I'd think, are they weak? Like, what's going on? I just didn't get it because I'd never gone through it.
Yeah.
Then it happened to me. And then I went the other way and I thought, wow, no one's ever experienced what I've experienced. Mm. I felt like this is just me. It's so painful. No one gets me, even though everybody gets me. Anyone who's been through heartbreak understands. But it was so painful that I thought, surely this is not what everyone goes through when they experience heartbreak. But it is. And so I went through this really intense, tough journey. I was very much the victim and I lent into that, which then prolonged my healing because instead of thinking, right, this is what I've been dealt, what am I going to do to move forward? How can I help myself? Instead, I'd kind of wallow and I'd think, you know, everyone's going to fuck you over. You know, like all relationships are toxic. I'd see someone in a relationship and I'd say, when's that going to break down? And I would just think so negative. I was like, this is horrible. I hate this side of myself.
Mm.
So I really noticed this massive shift in my own psychology and I didn't like what I saw. And I didn't like that I was just a victim to my own circumstances and I thought this has got to be changed. So I did this huge life overhaul and I sold everything. Yeah. I gave up my apartment, sold my car and moved to Paris on a one-way ticket. I kind of threw everything up in the air because I just needed a change. And I realized that, and you don't have to do something that drastic and that big, but I realized that when you create the shift, when you start to create change for yourself, you start to approach other things differently. You become more proactive. Instead of sitting in this situation of like, everything's happening to me and I'm just dealing with all these blows, you think, well, if my life's going to be shaken up, I might as well be the one that's doing the shaking up. Mm. So I'm going to start changing these things. I'm going to start taking control of the situations that are in front of me. And it wasn't the easiest thing in the world, but it was fun. It was exciting. There was novel things happening all the time. That's what caused me to start healing in a way that I never thought would be possible. And I started really loving myself and I loved my life and I loved how I was learning things to the extent that I then never, ever would ever want to return back to my old life. It was kind of like I loved my old life, but there was that kind of line in the sand and I felt like an evolved version of myself and it was a really nice place to be. And that's what really got me wanting to study it more from a scientific standpoint and really understand neurochemicals, understand how behaviors and actions you can take can really change your mood and change your state of being overall.
Yeah. I love that. I think that is why I really love your show, because I also recently went through a breakup. And I think having gone through a couple of different emotional cycles in my life, I also started, you know, I was doing some of the, you know, I know that you can like work out and I know you can do like therapy, but it really did also prompt an interest in neuroscience for me. So like I look at your track and I'm like, wow, that is so fascinating. And I love that it connected first to maybe like a romantic relationship that then causes like emotional whirlwind for you.
I feel like I'm always dehydrated. And now that I increased my workouts, I'm always thirsty. Obviously, you know that I Google everything, so I Googled, why am I always thirsty? And guess what I found out? Did you know healthy hydration isn't just about drinking water? It's about water and electrolytes. It makes total sense. You lose both water and sodium when you sweat, and both need to be replaced to prevent muscle cramps, headaches, and energy dips. But most of us only replace the water part. Because since the 1940s, we've been told to drink 8 glasses of water per day, thirsty or not. Drinking beyond thirst is actually a bad idea. It dilutes blood electrolyte levels, especially sodium levels, which leads to headaches, low energy, cramps, confusion, or worse. This explains a lot for me. I get the worst headaches throughout the week. The solution isn't to stop drinking water, though. It's to drink water plus electrolytes. Enter Element. Element has enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to get you feeling and performing your best. Plus, it has zero sugar, artificial colors, or other dodgy ingredients to hold you back. You're also guaranteed to find Element flavor you love. Personally, I'm a fan of raspberry salt or mango chili for a little bit of a kick. Element comes with a fantastic offer for us. Just go to drinkelement.com/ABG to get a free sample pack with purchase.
On your show, you also talk a lot about anxiety and burnout, which is something that I resonate with quite a bit. And you share in episode 250 specifically, which I highly recommend for our listeners out there, about overthinking. So I wanted to ask you, when's the last time you experienced overthinking and what did you do in the moment to turn it around? Because I know I'm not the only one of the listeners out there who must like go through periods of overthinking and you know that you're overthinking, but you don't quite know how to turn it around.
Totally. I mean, I feel like we all experience mini bouts of overthinking kind of scattered, but the biggest one, I had this big one professionally where I was kind of trying to get out of a contract and I had all these issues with my podcast, and long story short, to not bore the audience, but it was this whole contractual dispute and it was really, really weighing on me emotionally. And it was something I didn't expect would happen. It was kind of took me by surprise and it was really affecting my own work. I was no longer creative anymore. The work that I was putting out wasn't to the level that I wanted it to be. So everything was being affected by this negative situation and it was all encompassing. It ended up taking over every aspect of my life. I couldn't wind down in any other area. It was just really, I was expecting worst case scenario and I was thinking, what if this happens though? This worst case scenario. So I just could not enjoy myself even when I wasn't focusing on the podcast, I wasn't working. Then the worst case scenario did happen and the contract that I wanted fell through. This thing that I thought I was going to get didn't happen. My podcast got taken down while things were being resolved. And I realized that now that the worst case scenario has happened, I'm actually fine. I'm actually okay. And it sucks that it took that to happen to realize that I'd be okay. But it's kind of, in a way, it was a bit of a blessing because I realized, okay, this really sucks. But I've now realized that this one area has fallen apart in my life, but every other area hasn't. Yet I was allowing every other area in my life to suffer. So one of the best things you can do when you're overthinking and something's, you know, and it could be a breakup, it could be a friendship dispute, it could be emotional turmoil, it could be professional or financial turmoil. The first thing you have to do is just zoom out a little bit and try to pour your energy into other things to give your life a bit more perspective. When we overthink, the one thing takes over your entire life. And the moment that happens, your mental health starts to take a bit of a dive. You start to put yourself last. You don't interact with people the way you should. You think you're getting real connection, but in reality, it's a text message here and there. So the things that we need as a human, we put bottom of the barrel. And our needs are real connection, being present. We need a sense of security, but we also need adventure. So if you're tapping into all these things throughout your day, then you can still have this thing that's not working for you existing in its own pocket, and you can deal with it in the, you know, you look at what is in my control, what isn't in my control, mm-hmm. what can I do to chip away at this, but without allowing it to bleed into other areas of your life. So what I started doing was I would do what I could do with that, and then I would put my phone down and go and hang out with some friends with no technology with me at all. So I would have like real connection. I went away for a weekend with my cousins, and that was probably like what saved my mental health, you know, because you just sit there, we'd do puzzles, we'd be laughing, we'd, you know, be cooking together. But it's this idea of, the more I think about it, the more I'm going to come up with a resolution. It's actually the opposite. Sometimes it's so important to put things into perspective for your own mental health, because you cannot reason, you cannot think something through when you are in the depths of your despair. Yes. So we're very counterproductive because we think, well, I can't not think about this because it's going to blow up. But it's actually the opposite. I need to step away because that's where I will find clarity. And then I'll be like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe if I did this, or maybe I can step away from this, or maybe it's not the end of the world if this happens, and then I can focus on doing this, you know, to better it in another way.
I liked how you connected overthinking to when you're kind of going very deep into only one aspect of your life. And my big takeaway from that is, if you find yourself kind of going through anxiousness or overthinking, most likely there's like one sector. You might be thinking, oh, I'm thinking about so many things that I have to get done, blah, blah, blah. But it's probably one aspect of your life that you're kind of like going deep in. So pull back, look at all the other things, because there's got to be other things in your life that have something positive about them. If it's a person that you can reach out to, an activity that you can do. So that's great. Thank you for sharing that. That's super helpful. I also wanted to talk to you about sleep, because I think it was in that same episode. And this is something that I've, you know, shared with my listeners as well. I'm like working on my my sleep hygiene. I've tried, like, I know I hear like turning the lights down early. I heard like tart cherry juice is high in melatonin, so having it before bedtime is supposed to help. I've tried tracking my sleep. I'm curious, from your experience, what is the most important part of your own sleep hygiene routine right now? And any tips that you might have for someone who's struggling to get better sleep?
Totally. So especially for people struggling to get better sleep, the first thing you want to do is identify a rough sleep time. So that's the same most nights. Okay, there's the weekend here and there. But in general, let's say it's going to be 10 p.m. or 9 p.m., whatever it is. Let's call it 10 o'clock. The beauty of that is that once you know the time you're going to be going to bed, then you can determine when your wind down begins. Because a lot of people will think, I'll put blue light blocker glasses on.
Yeah.
And then that's it. I'll go to bed at this time. That's one tiny aspect, but you've got to look at stimulation from every facet. So one of the things is, don't eat just before you sleep, because your body's trying to digest. That you're being too stimulated. So eat at least an hour and a half before sleep, if possible. That's one. The next one is when you brush your teeth. Don't do it just before bed, because you're putting mint in your mouth. It's really stimulating. That's another thing that we can tick off. If you want to have technology, make sure it's just audio. Don't be looking at your phone, because that screen will, the blue light, but even more so, you're being stimulated by things that are triggering emotional responses to something, especially social media, where you don't really have control as to what's going to appear next.
Right,
whereas if you select a podcast or an audiobook, you're choosing the topic. You're very in control of, you know, really what it is that you're listening to. And if you prefer to read, it's a lamp behind your head or a light, but backlit. So you're looking at something that's backlit, not a light that's shining up to your eyes.
Oh, interesting. That's a great idea. I thought about that. Yeah. So back from behind, not directly into your eyes.
Definitely. So screens is a bit, look, if you're someone that has no issue falling asleep and you say, oh, but I watch TV and I fall asleep. Well, great. But if you are struggling to fall asleep, screens are an absolute no-go an hour before falling asleep. Some people do it longer, but really an hour before falling asleep should be adequate. Another thing is how you're waking up, which is really important. So we go through these cycles. Our hormones are released in cycles. So your cortisol should be at its highest in the morning and at its lowest in the evening. So when you wake up in the morning, I think people think of cortisol as bad, too much dopamine as bad, but it's all about imbalance and when it should be had. Every neurotransmitter serves its purpose, and a really good one. So in the morning, when you wake up, you want to get outside. You want blue light. You want to wake up the brain. Some people think all blue light is bad. The sun is the greatest source of blue light, and it's very good to set your circadian rhythm in tune. So when you wake up, bang, get outside, get some natural sunlight. If possible, exercise. Even if it's just 3 minutes of moving your body, get your blood flowing. Use that, do something with that cortisol that your body has, you know, make use of it, because cortisol is to keep you alert. So you want to ride that wave and get alert in the morning. What a lot of people do is they'll wake up, they'll stay in bed and they'll grab their phone, bang, social media, social media, social media. So you're kind of depleting, you're spiking your dopamine, depleting. And dopamine is your willingness to do something. So if you're depleting it, then the rest of the day, you're like, well, I'm not really willing to do anything. So what do? We go for these quick fixes. Going down.
Yeah,
exactly. So our motivation goes down for everything. So I say, don't use social media or emails for the first hour, waking hour of the day. And that's actually going to help you fall asleep at night because you're setting your circadian clock properly in the morning.
I like that. So your sleep hygiene actually begins the morning. In the morning. It's not right before you go to bed. It's in the morning.
Exactly. And also with caffeine intake, I'm a huge advocate for caffeine for the brain. However, ideally don't have your first coffee until 1 or 2 hours after you wake, unless you are exercising. If you train, that actually changes how caffeine is, you know, metabolized through the body and all of that. And it's actually fine to have it earlier if you're going to be exercising soon after. And then that actually helps you fall asleep later in the evening as well.
Yeah. Going back, I was like just thinking about something you had shared in the nighttime routine. You had mentioned that brushing your teeth too close to bed because it's stimulating with all that mint. Do you suggest then like brushing your teeth way earlier, using a different type of toothpaste, or what is like?
Yeah, I just do it earlier. And just even with the bathroom, most of our bathrooms are very, very bright. Not everyone, but a lot of people have like really bright bathrooms. So you're winding down, you're falling asleep. Then you walk into the bathroom, bang, bright light, bang, mint in your mouth.
I see. A lot of stimulation,
I remember even when I was younger, I'd dread brushing my teeth because it would pull me out of this wind down that I was starting to sink into. So if you can do it earlier, definitely do it earlier, because once you start to wind down, that's when you want to take yourself straight to bed. Another thing for people that struggle to fall asleep is make your bed just for sleep or books. A lot of people will have their TV, technology devices, their laptops in bed, and they'll, oh, but I've been in bed for 2 hours and I still can't fall asleep. Take that to the living room. If you need to do work, fine. If you need to watch a movie, that's okay. But you want to start creating this association of your bed is for sleep. And that way, when you go to bed, after doing that for a couple of weeks, you realize, wow, I'm winding down way faster. I'm looking at this bedroom as an environment that is for sleep and nothing else.
That is a great tip. I want to jump to another topic because I only have you for so much time. I have been hearing and reading a lot about the gut-brain connection.
Yes.
So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about this and share your perspective on what the gut-brain connection is.
Yeah. So this is, I'm not an expert in this area, but what we're understanding is that there's a lot of neurochemicals and hormones and just throughout the entire body, not just the brain. Serotonin is something that's produced in very, very large quantities in the gut as well. And what we notice is that a lot of foods that we eat very heavily impact our mood as well. And things that are released in the gut then can sometimes cross through the blood-brain barrier and have an impact on our brain as well. So there's still a lot of research that needs to be done in understanding how much of that serotonin in the gut actually impacts our mood, because serotonin, like a lot of transmitters, they'll have one function in the brain and then other functions throughout the rest of the nervous system. But it's this understanding of, you know, there's a lot of mood disorders that can be treated with certain foods. For example, vitamin B is very good to treat depression. So eating lots of cashews actually has a positive impact on depressive states. Not across the board, not for everyone.
Right.
Most mental health disorders are very case dependent, but it's really interesting to see that foods will heavily impact your mood, your overall well-being. So I think it's really interesting when we look at the gut-brain connection, not just at the neurochemicals that are being released within the gut, but also looking at how are foods behaving or how is our body responding to foods.
I knew that vitamin B, or I had heard about the correlation for kind of like depression, but cashews, is that like, is it nuts in general or cashews?
Yeah,
or what
nuts
else
in general. They just say that cashews are just one of the better sources out of all the nuts. They say even just a handful of cashews a day is actually really, really good for the mood. And then people might say, oh, but that's too many oils and whatever. I mean, to me, I look at it as your mental health comes number one, and then everything falls into place after that. So instead of worrying about, oh, there's a few more calories here, or there's a few. Once you get your mind in check,
Right.
Everything else falls into place. You know, you're healthier overall. You perform better overall. You move more. Everything starts to feel better. So I always say to people, you know, if you're going to think about one thing to focus on, it is your brain health, because your brain health is your mental health, and then your mental health is your health, you know?
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Thank you.
Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
What are some other ways to kind of help support good gut health for brain health?
As far as the gut health side of things, I'm not very well versed on the gut. But one thing that I do recommend that a lot of people start to take, and it's very, very, very good for you, is something called L-theanine. It's really, really high in green tea, especially matcha. And the effects that L-theanine has on the brain is just absolutely unbelievable, because what it does, it has a calming effect while being able to stimulate your awareness and your focus. So you're increasing your awareness and your focus while calming you down, unlike a lot of stimulants where you're feeling buzzing across the board, which a lot of people don't like the feeling of. L-theanine also has amazing impacts on your overall brain health. It's really neuroprotective as well. So it protects your, you know, the connections between your neurons and things like that. So if you're looking at foods to better your brain health, green tea is unbelievable. Matcha is unbelievable. Then berries and things like that are also really good, because the brain has a lot of these things called reactive oxygen species, ROS, they call it. And it's basically debris that needs to be cleared. And there's a lot of foods that are high in antioxidants that are really great in aiding in that clearance of this ROS that's in the brain as well.
Yeah,
and that helps with your overall focus. It helps with your performance. And what happens is when you are focused and calm, your brain regions actually start to talk to each other a lot better. So if you're someone that, circling quickly back to overthinking, if you're someone that spirals and overthinks, you're also sitting in your emotional center quite heavily. When you are calmer, your logic can intercept with the emotion. So for example, if you're in a really anxious state, you can say, okay, I'm really anxious right now. I've named it. I'm understanding that I'm feeling it. And instantly your conscious mind has intervened, and you're already slightly calmer just because you're getting your brain regions to communicate with each other. So sometimes one of the best things you can do is just name a situation and just be calm about it. You don't have to fix it in the moment. It's just naming it. And this idea of getting brain regions to communicate better, especially the prefrontal cortex with, you know, the limbic system, the emotional centers of the brain, starts to kind of talk you down off that edge, and you start to feel a whole lot better. And there's certain, you know, exercise is great for that. Meditation is phenomenal for that, to help increase that connectivity between the brain regions.
Yeah. Well, this is great. I've already gleaned so many tips here, which is, if you want to think about foods that could be good for your brain, it's green tea, berries, nuts.
Nuts. Yep. Yep, and definitely. Then, and then it sounds cliche, but a balanced diet is absolutely crucial. Unless you have an intolerance to a food group, such as like a carbohydrate or whatever, the brain actually needs carbs. The brain needs proteins. You know, it needs sugars to work. It needs fats. It needs everything. So as cliche as it sounds, a balanced diet is very important.
Critical, right? Yeah. Food, sleep. We've talked about all the core things that I've definitely been upping and exploring this year to kind of try to set a better stage for overall health. But on your show, you actually also, Alexis, you talk a lot about social relationships, right? And how that impacts one's overall health, which makes sense because your relationships play a huge role in your quality of life. So I'm curious, for 2024, what is an aspect of relationship management that you're focused on?
I think my main thing is ensuring that I have a deep, meaningful connection every single day. I noticed, for example, yesterday I was quite busy. I had a lot on my plate to the extent that I was almost unproductive because I was just like, oh, I'm juggling too many things right now.
Yes,
I'm juggling
I've been there. I know what that feels like.
And then you go and you sit down to start working and you think, I've got nothing to give. I'm just, it's too much. So I messaged a friend of mine who just works close to where I work, and she's the funniest person ever. We have the best time. And I said, are you around for a coffee? Yeah, of course, of course. So we met up, and just 1 hour with her transformed my mood. We had our phones away. We were just laughing, talking. I was feeding off this energy.
Yeah.
And then I got back and everything changed. I felt so much better. We underestimate the importance of a real, genuine connection. Sitting at a table with your phone there is not it. You want to put it away. That is transformative. And imagine if you could do that every day. Imagine if you could have a moment, even if it's not an hour, 15 minutes, pick up the phone and call instead of a text. Yeah. You will feel the difference in your body. And every time I do that, I remind myself, I need to do this every day without fail. I need to speak to someone where I feel really connected. And that actually transforms my mood and it helps my productivity. It helps my focus. Yeah. It just changes my outlook for the day.
Yeah, I could definitely resonate with that. I think especially with, you know, we're in the new year, but as the year wraps up, always at the end of the year, I feel like things get so crazy. And I definitely found myself in that state where I have so much to do. And then I feel so just like no energy. And being able to just reach out even for like 5-10 minutes to someone that you connect with is so important.
It's so important. It's that little circuit breaker. It's that little distraction. It makes you feel good. Yeah. And then you approach things, just you feel a lot emotionally refreshed when you then emotionally reapproach.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And I used to, I mean, I think it's so easy to get wrapped up in our day-to-day. I thought, you know, like, okay, maybe at least 3 times a week I talk to someone, but I like the focus on every day. Every day you should have meaningful connections. So I want our listeners to also focus on that as well for their social relationships.
100%. Yeah, definitely.
So the next question I would love to ask you, Alexis, is as we're closing out this wonderful conversation for 2024, or I guess maybe not just thinking about 2024. I know that you're always working with so many different details and informations around health and the brain, but what's like something recently that you've learned about the brain that you only learned recently that you found really interesting?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure.
Or maybe it's something that you've known, you learned a while ago, but there's like some different angle to it that has kind of like shifted your understanding.
I think one thing that I've found to have more kind of scientific backing to, which we always talk about, is the idea of journaling that I've found more and more interesting, because I think we've always spoken about, oh, journal, put your emotions down, you know, all of that. But now there's actually more and more scientific, you know, just studies and data coming out about how actually therapeutic journaling can be and quite transformative in quite a short amount of time. This idea of just, you know, they call it name it to tame it, and naming your emotions, even if you don't have to do anything about it, putting it down on paper allows you to kind of do a daily inventory on yourself, your emotions for the day, how you processed things. And I think it's got to do with when you wrap up your day. It's kind of like you're doing a little kind of analysis on just a quick analysis on your emotions. And you do a bit of a journal on like, what was my challenge? Then you think, how would I have approached that differently if I would have? Or what did I learn today if there wasn't really a challenge? And then what worked really well for me today? What really resonated with me? What did I think, wow, I did so much better than I thought I would at that, or that didn't scare me like I thought it would. Like, what worked for me today? When you circle back and touch on those topics, you allow your, if it's the good things, you're priming your mind to then seek out more of that even without you realizing it in the next day. And if it's a negative quote unquote thing, you then in a calm environment, allow yourself to imagine without being, you know, stressed or scared, how you would have approached that differently. A lot of the time we'll go through something difficult and say, wow, that was horrible. I'm going to hide that. Don't want to look at it. Don't want to address that. That was embarrassing. Like, oh, brush it under the rug. But if you look at it and say, okay, yes, that was embarrassing. Let's bring it back to light. Next time, what would I have done differently? Could I have said something? Could I have just laughed along with it? Could I have just, you know, how could I have approached it differently? And that you reliving it in a different way allows you to feel so much more comfortable about what you had gone through instead of this elephant in the room that gets bigger and bigger and bigger that you're avoiding. You think, let's just break it down. It's fine. And then you become a lot more comfortable with yourself and how you behave, and you're not so critical of yourself. You're a lot more accepting. You're a lot more comfortable in your own skin. And that's all through journaling, which I find fascinating because it's something that people have done for decades, but it's cool to see all the science coming through.
Yeah, that is super fascinating. I know like journaling is something that has been recommended to me a lot, like through different therapists that I've seen, but usually it's like they want me to maybe journal for a set period or about a set event. But I like this idea of saying just like every day to maybe relive your day, because it helps you process things little by little. And instead of having things, you know, just like kind of powering through life and then not really taking the time to remember or sit in what are the things that have happened.
Exactly.
So that is great. Yeah. Any other kind of like parting words of advice that you would like to leave our listeners around brain health for 2024, Alexis, what would that be?
So I've got this one thing that I always say to my listeners, for overall happiness, you want to focus on these three pillars that I consider to be the three pillars of happiness. And they are: every single day, you want to do one thing to work towards connection, which we spoke about, one thing to work towards purpose. And a purpose is just like where you feel that you are contributing, you feel useful, you feel that you're a part of something. So it doesn't have to be massive. It could be, I help my neighbor in the morning take their rubbish out. That's a purpose. I'm contributing. I'm useful.
Yeah.
And then the other one is growth. How are you growing in any area? It could be something really trivial, like I'm getting faster at unloading the dishwasher, or it could be I've learned how to do a push-up, whereas before I could never. But growth in any aspect really strengthens our, you know, confidence within ourselves. And it makes us more likely to then want to go out and attempt harder things. So growth, connection, purpose.
Love that. Growth, connection, purpose. That I'm going to focus on that for 2024 for sure.
Love that.
Thanks so much, Alexis. Thanks for being here again. And for listeners, if you haven't already, please check out Alexis's podcast, Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life. Do you want to give us your, you know, where they can find you on like your social handles, any of that?
Yeah, for sure. So my Instagram, my personal Instagram is Alexis Predez. That's just my two surnames mushed together. So Predez. And then the podcast handle is just DYFM podcast.
DYFM.
I think we couldn't even do the swear word. I don't think on the title. DYFM podcast.
Wonderful.
So that's the
wonderful
social handle.
Great. Thank you so much, Alexis.
Thank you for having me. That was great.
Once again, this is your host, Janet. I can also be found on Asian Boss Girl, the podcast for the modern-day Asian-American woman, with my good friends Helen and Mel, who are also hosting their own shows, which you can catch on the same feed, new episodes every Tuesday. You can follow ABG on Instagram at Asian Boss Girl, and me, Janet, at Janet W. That's Janet, the word double, and the letter U. Catch you on the next episode. Bye.